Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's issues here on American Family Radio. Thanks for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show.
Fred Jackson.
Great to be here.
And Dr. Ray Pritchard. Ray, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good. Tim, how are you?
Doing well. Now, you're on the mend. again, you had your bike accident, so you're looking at April before you can get back out on the...
Yeah, that's going to be about the earliest, you know.
Okay.
But, you know, that today we've got, it's 21 degrees here in Kansas City. We've got freezing drizzle, which is worse than snow because you can't see it. And I was just thinking, this is the stuff that got me in trouble in the first place. So I'm staying inside today, folks.
We're glad to hear that.
You know, it isn't always better here in the South, but it is today.
Yes, it is.
We're 73. Mm-hmm. In Tupelo today, and I think it's 65 tomorrow, so we're enjoying some global warming here, but then it drops off the table, as I'm sure it probably does in the Midwest and everywhere, except when it drops off the table in Kansas City and north of there, dropping off the table is 5.
Dropping off
the table for us, Fred's 37.
That's right.
You know, big difference.
Yeah.
Anyway. Thanks for listening, everybody. A lot to talk about. Fred, what's happening today?
Well, the big news is tonight at 8 o'clock Central, President Trump will finally get to issue his State of the Union address. You remember back on the 29th, you were supposed to do that, but Nancy Pelosi de-invited him. She said because of the government shutdown, there was danger, there was security concerns. And that's what she said.
No, I think it was, you canceled my plane on my trip. I'm going to cancel your State of the Union. Hey, like them apples.
A little bit of revenge.
That's right.
Going on there. But
imagine that.
I tell you what, a lot of people are going to be watching tonight because tonight Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, will be sitting right behind the president as he gives his speech. And so people, yeah, tune in,
worth
folks.
The price of admission just to watch her
facial expressions. Yeah. It's going to be part of the big news tonight. So
let me ask you, Ray, you're Nancy Pelosi in this situation. I know I hate to make you think in those terms, but just for a minute, in terms of, she has to make a spontaneous decision on clap or not clap.
Right.
Because her whole Democrat caucus they're not even watching President Trump. They're watching their leader, Nancy Pelosi. If Nancy claps, I clap.
Right.
If Nancy doesn't clap, I don't clap. If Nancy smiles, I smile. If she doesn't, I scowl too. And she's up there. We know she can't stand the president. Mm-hmm. And she certainly doesn't want to be seen as acknowledging successes of the Trump administration, but at the same time, you run the risk. For instance, I'll give you this. If he says the unemployment numbers are at historic lows for the African-American and Hispanic-American community, and all the Republicans start clapping, you know, and what if she doesn't? Does that mean she's far high enough? She's against that. Good news. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder if tonight, Tim, she won't just sit on her hands for most of the speech because she doesn't want to be. She doesn't want to be seen as giving an inch, a millimeter to the president. Right. So I'm wondering if she'll clap at all. Could we have a State of the Union where on the Democrat side they never applauded at all? We're living in strange times. I think she's going to do everything she can to keep from cheering the president or being seen to be even slightly in his
corner.
But
there's a risk there, I think, with the general public. The people.
There's word that there may be a few points in his speech where she will applaud. People have seen a draft. For instance, he's going to talk about working with Democrats on lowering the price of prescription drugs.
Right.
So that may be a point when she gets off her hands and claps, because that would be hard, really, really hard for her not to get
Walker.
Yeah, to me, the Democrats have lowered the bar so much as what to expect when it comes to decorum that if they just don't stand and clap, you know, that's pretty typical. It's pretty – the State of the Union at times is pretty partisan. I mean, you know, if President Obama was touting Obamacare, then probably the Republicans –
they're probably going to sit there.
They're just going to sit there. So that's pretty typical, you know, and every once in a while there's bipartisan hand claps on different issues. But if we can get through tonight without somebody booing or interrupting or shouting or having to be escorted out, I'll be pretty surprised in the days of, you know, the...
You think she'll clap for anything, though? Will she even clap for his entrance?
You know, I don't know. I don't think so. If she listens to her base, the far left,
the
people who try to smear Brett Kavanaugh and do things, shameful things like that, then things like not clapping are not far-fetched.
Well, to your point, the environment going into this, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, everybody knows who she is, better known as AOC now, she is bringing one of the Kavanaugh accusers. That is her guest tonight.
You're not serious.
I'm serious. It's the woman who confronted...
This woman's just whacked.
Yeah, she's bringing the woman who confronted Jeff Flake at the elevator that made Jeff Flake say, oh, I better reconsider my vote. Remember that?
Yes. Yeah.
That's going to be AOC's guest tonight.
Good night.
And I think is Kamala Harris or another Democrat is bringing someone who is in the country illegally who once worked for Donald Trump down in Florida.
You're not serious.
Yes.
You're serious?
I'm dead serious.
So she's for... That what she's saying is I'm for no borders at all,
and she's not ashamed about it.
Yeah. Right.
State of the Union.
That's not breaking news. Therefore, open borders.
Oh yeah, that's true. Well, we'll see what happens there. You know, with that, but it's going to be interesting to see. I agree with you. I think the Democrats are going to sit on their hands, maybe even boo some, but. I tell you what's going to be a spectacle, Ray, is the next year or so. How long do we have before the Democrats start making their choice on their nominee? Well, we got the caucuses start.
Caucuses start in January.
Yeah. Right. Less than a year.
Yeah.
You talk about, a sideshow, a freak show. A freak show of the left. You're about to see. It's going to be a like going to the fair.
Yeah, for the past few years, we've been kind of getting...
Bearded lady.
We've been getting sound bites of the far-left policies, you know, here and there, and they're kind of hard to nail down. But now we're going to get repetitive, everyday, Medicare for all, no private insurance allowed, things like that.
Who can out-left?
Yep. Yes, exactly.
It's a race to the end of the earth and fall off. Mm-hmm. And who can get there
because
first?
Because primaries are dominated by the base
right.
on both parties.
On both parties, yeah. You're going to see this. This is going to, I suspect it is going
to
be.
Is it fair to say there's no such thing as a, quote, moderate Democrat left? Who would be? Moderate Democrat that has a
Howard
following?
Schultz. Howard Schultz.
Yeah.
Okay. The Starbucks guy.
There's a few. Steny Hoyer, the number two there in the House. It's relative, right?
Right.
What you mean by moderate? But I mean, as far as being compared to Nancy Pelosi, I think he's considered more moderate. But their base, which is very very left wing, is loud and obnoxious, and they'll almost devour their own, just like they devour a Republican. So we'll see what happens there. But I got to tell you, for those who like political theater, it's going to be fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Because somebody's going to say, no, I'm for 100% federal tax on, right. on people over 100,000.
Right.
Take it all.
Now, beat me on that. I mean, you just can't out free stuff, Democrats. You know,
right.
if you think you can out free stuff them, they're going to be trying to do that themselves right here in the next, the next 6 months to a year as we watch these, Send In the Clowns song comes to mind. We'll be probably playing that a lot. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker and Fred and Ray, and we're joined most Tuesdays by Dr. Frank Turek from Cross Examine Ministries in Charlotte, NC, and he joins us now. Good morning, Frank.
Morning, gentlemen. I don't know if you've seen the Babylon Bee this morning. A couple big headlines.
How's that?
Well, Grand Canyon University just disinvited Jesus to campus for causing division. Heard that?
He's such a troublemaker.
He is. And then, I don't know if you saw this, but Governor Northam of Virginia, he assures Virginians he supports killing babies of all colors.
Wow. Of course, that's in reference to Northam's, is it Northam? I pronounced that right? Governor Northam?
I think it's Northam. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Northam. Anyway, that's his now infamous quote from his radio interview talking about leaving a baby to die after it's born, talking about his support of abortion up to 9 months, which was disgraceful, obviously, and he should have resigned for that reason. Of course, he's in trouble for other reasons now. What do you think about that situation in north of you there, Frank, in the bordering state? Because they got to deal with not only their governor, who's being, you know, pressured to resign by all people in the Democratic Party, nationally and I guess locally. By locally, I mean in Virginia. And then their lieutenant governor is being accused of what amounts to rape, sexual assault, at least. From a woman from a few years back, and so he's under scrutiny for that. So are you next in line there? Or,
maybe it's Nancy Pelosi next in line. I don't know. It
could be. But anyway.
What I wanted to point out about this, Tim, and is the fact that obviously what this guy did 35 or so years ago in his
talking about the governor?
Yeah, was it medical school?
It was medical school yearbook, 1984. He wore a black face in a picture, I think.
Okay, but what about the picture of him dressed as a KKK member?
Was that him?
He's denying that. Whatever it is. Okay, yeah, let's just say he did that, okay?
Yeah.
It was 35 years ago. Now, okay, I just want to ask anybody in our listening audience, when you were in college, could it have been that you did something really stupid and really...
Well, Brett Kavanaugh's high school.
Oh, in high school.
In high school, which couldn't even be proven. I'm not saying he's guilty of anything,
right,
but that's what they were accusing him of.
Mm-hmm. Right. And look, if he did this, obviously it was bad, and racism is bad. We all agree with that. The thing that I am concerned about is the couple days before this came out, the Democrats were cheering his comments, basically infanticide.
Right. Mm.
And yet they discover something from his past that was 35 years ago that was probably done at a Halloween party or you know, he was dressed up for some frat party, whatever it was.
I know.
And that's intolerable, but we're going to cheer on infanticide for this guy. Infanticide, he's our hero. But he did something 35 years ago, which is now definitely considered politically incorrect and certainly insensitive. And he's got to go for that.
Well, I think the Democrats, you know, they when they looked at Brett Kavanaugh, Well, they've done this for years, though. They've gone back in time. Clarence Thomas.
Right.
Remember?
Oh, sure.
Well, there was a...
1992.
Anita Hill.
91, actually, probably.
Let's bring this woman up, Anita Hill, and let's accuse him of something that can't be proven or disproven that supposedly happened. It wasn't even a sexual assault. It was something else that we remember. So the Democrats are willing to go way back in history. So that, in a sense, that's always seemingly a double standard with them, and we'll see how this plays out in Virginia because you – If they hold to the same standard they apply to Brett Kavanaugh, then this lieutenant governor who's been accused of sexual assault by a woman who's public about it, from a few years back, 2004, I think she said he did this to her. Then he, by the remember the Democrats, Kavanaugh, there's too many questions. He just needs to step aside.
Frank, let me ask you this. This is Walker. What I'm having trouble figuring out what moral compass or what moral code the Democrats use. I mean, they're all over the map. Racism is wrong, but we can kill babies. Where are they pulling from their guy? What are they looking
to? Let me just say, answer for Frank here. Can I do that here?
Because please.
I think Frank's, I can answer for him right here. I'm Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and he's
Trump.
I do want to interject this. I think a lot of what the Democrats put out there as racism is bogus, okay? It's just not true, but they throw it out there day after day after day. I'm so sick of hearing Trump's a racist. He's a bigot. Mm-hmm. Day after day after day. If you say it a million times on CNN and CNBC, then,
people start to believe it.
Well, also, it diminishes real racism, quite frankly. True. If everything's racism every day that President Trump does,
right,
then nothing is, okay? Because you've diminished real...
The meaning.
The meaning. So go ahead, Frank.
Well, I agree with what you just said, but I also want to point out, Walker, you're getting at something that is rarely talked about, and that is, what is your standard to judge anything right or wrong? Mm. And many of these Democrats, and even some Republicans, to tell you the truth, some of them are atheists, and they have no standard by which to judge anything right or wrong. It's just their own personal preference, but they want to impose that personal preference on everyone. If there is no God, nothing is ultimately right or wrong. Everything's a matter of opinion. Now, you don't even have to be religious to know this. You just have to understand that unless there's a moral standard beyond humanity, everything is just a matter of opinion. It's just your opinion against somebody else's opinion. And that's why Thomas Jefferson, who did not want to establish a Christian denomination in this country, but did want to establish the rights that come from God in this country, started the Declaration of Independence. After the first paragraph, he said, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Where do rights come from? They don't come from government. Governments are instituted among men to secure these rights. And Jefferson said, if the government isn't securing these rights, then the people have the right to get a new government. That's what the Declaration of Independence was all about. But notice, Jefferson is grounding rights in God's nature. If there is no God, you can't say that racism's wrong. You can't say that abortion's wrong. You can't say that abortion's a right either if there is no God. So, Walker, you're on to something that nobody ever wants to talk about. In fact, Chris Cuomo, who is the brother of Andrew Cuomo, a number of years ago was on CNN, and somebody asked him, where do rights come from? And he said, rights come from government.
Hmm.
No, if rights come from government, that would mean that nobody in the Nazi government had any rights if they were Jewish, homosexual, gypsies, or Jehovah's Witnesses.
Hmm.
You know, rights aren't determined by governments. They're secured or sometimes, unfortunately, abused by governments. And so, Walker, they don't have a moral compass, a consistent moral compass. And isn't it interesting, by the way, gentlemen, they always use morality to promote immorality. In other words, they'll always say, well, a woman has a moral right to choose, and you're wrong for interfering with that. Well, wait a minute. Where are you coming up with rights language, a moral right to choose? Or they'll say something about equality to try and promote the idea that all genders are the same. See, they're using a moral concept, equality, to try and obscure the differences, the true biological differences between men and women. They're using morality to try and advance immorality.
Frank, let me ask you to look ahead to the State of the Union message tonight. Two questions. What tone do you expect the president to take? And number two, abortion, obviously, because of the Virginia governor, that's been a hot topic. Do you think the president will touch on the abortion issue tonight?
That's a good question, Ray. I don't know. I sure hope he does. I think he will.
I heard he is going to.
Yeah. I think he will because it is so blatantly, just so blatantly wrong when you look at it. In fact, I just saw a survey the other day that only about 13% of the American populace thinks that third-term abortion should occur. And this was actually, I don't know if you saw the video going around from one of the debates he had with Hillary Clinton. This actually came up in the debate. with Hillary Clinton back in 2016 about the third trimester abortion. And Trump was saying this is just unacceptable.
Right.
And so I think he'll probably bring it up again because, A, he realizes how evil it is, even for a guy who's probably not a Christian and probably yeah. does a lot of immoral things himself. Even he recognizes it's immoral. And secondly, most of the American people will be with him on this.
Let me ask you this, Frank, as well. The Democrat, we talked about the send in the clowns parade that's coming our way for the Democrat nomination. I was reading earlier today that a significant percentage of Americans, especially younger Americans, agree with Cortez and Bernie Sanders and Kamala Harris, and in other words, the Democrat Party, that we should raise taxes on what they call the rich. I don't know that, and so, do you think that's going to? I mean, you know, we understand that's bad for the economy, us here, and quite frankly, it's not fair to take people's hard-earned money. I don't care how much money they make, in the name of rich people paying their way. So, do you think that's going to catch on though? Because again, that's very appealing to a lot of people. You know, this class warfare. It does work to a certain extent. Now, it's not worked in a majority sense in America in an election, but Bernie Sanders, you know, he got a lot of support. He arguably won the Democrat nomination last time with this high taxation, high regulation, socialization. Well, that's a wrap right there. I could call it. But anyway, what do you think about that?
Well, never has an ideology that has been so disproven in practice has been believed by so many. I mean, socialism just doesn't work because it misunderstands human nature. It says that human beings will work a lot and take just a little and give away the rest, whereas the truth of the matter is, no, human beings will work as little as they can and take as much as they can because we're bent toward evil. It's easy to be bad. It's hard to be good. And if you give people a way out of work, they'll take it. Now, I wish everybody would read a book that my friend Jay Richards wrote. It's about 10 years old, but it's one of the best books you'll ever read on economics and Christianity. It's called Money, Greed, and God. Money, Greed, and God by Jay Richards. If they read that book, it'll disabuse them of any idea that socialism is something we ought to advance. In fact, he says something in here that, Ronald Reagan said this, socialism only works in heaven where they don't need it and hell where they already have it. Thomas Sowell said, socialism in general has a record of failure so blatant that only an intellectual could ignore it or evade it.
Yeah.
A novelist. I
agree with you, but the 30 and under crowd, I think it's very appealing.
Charles.
Well, it's very appealing because, again, they're using it in moral terms. Yeah, wouldn't it be great if everyone had the same amount of money?
Yeah.
And it's wrong that certain people have more money than other people. That's a moral claim that they're making.
Yeah,
and it just doesn't work in reality.
Charles Payne, one of the economists on Fox this morning, he answered your question why young people feel this way.
Yeah.
He says they've been taught it since grade school. And we now have
true.
A generation who are able to vote, who think this is the greatest thing since sliced bread.
Fair. To them, this is a fair world where I don't have to pay for college.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, someone put it this way. Marxism has not only failed to produce human freedom, it has failed to produce food.
Yeah. Hey, crossexamined.org.
Crossexamined.org. We're having the great Gary Habermas on this weekend, the top guy in the resurrections. We'll be talking about objections to the resurrection.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
Complying with God's order, complying with the Lord's created order, complying with what our Lord and King has laid out for us in his holy writ is actually the best formula for human flourishing.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, on our spiritual heritage tour of Washington, D.C., we go to the Supreme Court. That's one of the places we go on day one, and we visit the inside chambers. We go to where the justices sit, and it's an amazing place to visit, the Supreme Court of the United States. We don't just look at the outside. We go to the inside and see where the justices sit and where oral arguments are heard. So that's just one of the places we visit on one of the days when Washington, D.C., and we also go to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington. So we're going in June, we're going in September. June's almost full, September will be filling up soon. If you want more information on this Spiritual Heritage Tour, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The New York Times published a scathing attack on the beloved children's classic Mary Poppins. Professor Daniel Pollack Pelsner says Mary Poppins is racist. The professor teaches English and gender studies at Oregon's Linfield College. He was especially troubled by a scene where Mary Poppins is covered in soot. He said it was akin to blackface. It's all absurd, of course, and the very idea the New York Times would publish such nonsense is of no surprise. The left has been on a tear of late, branding all sorts of literary classics as racist trope, To Kill a Mockingbird, Huckleberry Finn, even Little House on the Prairie. It's sad, really, to paraphrase a Mary Poppins quote, why does the left always complicate things that are really quite simple? Be sure to check out ToddStarnes.com for conservative news and commentary. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. If you want to send us an email, here's the address, comments@afr.net, comments@afr.net. We have a podcast, True Walker?
That's correct. You can listen to our podcast at our website, afr.net, afr.net. Catch the podcast there and listen live to American Family Radio.
Do you know that thousands of people, on average, like 4,000, a day.
Mm-hmm.
Ray, I don't know if you knew this or not. I saw these numbers provided by our staff here. Like 4,000 people a day on average download our show.
Wow.
Today's Issues.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Via podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just think about that for a minute.
Exactly. And one of the projects that we're working on now, you've been hearing about it this week, that is our partnership, American Family Radio's partnership with India Partners. And here's what India Partners does, and to try to sum this up, is India Partners provides what's called safe houses in India, specifically in Mumbai, India, in the red light districts there. Prostitution, sex trafficking, even child sex trafficking is a huge problem in India. So what AFR is doing is we're partnering with India Partners to provide what's called nights and days of safety for these children. And so basically, for $7.08, you can provide one day of safety, rescue, and care for a child escaping the red light areas of Mumbai, India. So here's what you can do to call and donate.
By the way, Walker, what you're saying is your brother, Wesley,
yes,
just got back from India with John Riley, our own John Riley. John and Wesley went to India mm-hmm. with this ministry.
Yep. India Partners.
India Partners to actually see the work that our AFR listeners are supporting.
Mm-hmm.
So this isn't something we've heard about that we
haven't seen in person.
No, right. They went over there and spent 10 days
exactly
visiting these safe homes and these places. It's just heartbreaking. Well, it's heartbreaking on one level because you see the condition that these poor women and young girls have been in, but then it's heartwarming to know the work that we're supporting, our listeners are supporting in India to give them a safe place to live and to go to school, to learn, and so.
Yeah.
And hear about Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Exactly. And our work with India Partners is not just providing a week or two of safety. We are agreeing and committing to help raise these children and protect them and teach them through 18 years old. So these kids come in at 5, 6, or 8 years old, and India Partners keeps them and takes care of them through 18 years old.
Wesley's going to be on with us soon. Okay. So he can tell us about his trip.
In the meantime, here's how to donate. Once again, $7.08 provides one day of safety, rescue, and care for one of these children in Mumbai, India. I'm going to give the phone number, and then I'll give the website. The phone number is 877-616-2396, 877-616-2396, or you can visit our website, afr.net.
Ray, you still there?
I'm sitting right here.
Okay.
And let me just second the notion what you and Walker have been talking about. This is a great need in India. Great. And we're working.
You've been over there.
Yeah, I have been over there twice. And I have never seen human suffering and poverty. I've been around the world, Tim, but I've never seen it on a scale like I've seen it in India. The millions of people who are living way below what we call the poverty line, and the exploitation of children, which is people are getting rich, and there's certain people getting rich by the exploitation of these children into sex trafficking and the rest. And so sometimes we wonder what the work of Jesus is in the world, but I can't imagine anything better in the name of our Lord than to rescue these children who are being misused and exploited by other people. So God bless the work of India Partners and all that we are doing with him. It's the work of the Lord.
We'll get Wesley on to talk about that, maybe John too, but these kids and these young women Wesley and John get over there, and these people who are they're thanking them. Thank you, AFR. They got plaques up saying, thank you, American Family Radio, for providing this home. Mm. I mean, it's amazing how grateful and thankful they are to the American Christians who are coming to see them and helping to, change their lives and their situation. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio. Sandy Rios is with us. Sandy's with us most Tuesdays this time. She's Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association, and she's also host of Sandy Rios in the Morning here on American Family Radio. Good morning, Sandy.
Good morning, Tim. Can you want me to tell you my funny India story?
Please.
Well, I was over there in 2000, and yes, I saw all the poverty, and I could talk about that, but my story is actually funny. I used to run all the time, and I ran when I traveled. No matter what country I was in, I would go out and run because I love the early morning sounds and the smells, and you can really see how life feels, you know?
Right.
But I have a really bad sense of direction. So I was in a big city in India, and I got up early, as was my custom, to go and run. But I realized after I'd run for quite a while that I didn't know where I was. I didn't know the name of the hotel. I had no idea where I had no idea. And I guess this is not so funny after all. And so I'm standing there thinking, nobody, I will disappear and no one will ever know where I went or, what happened to me. And I won't even be able to tell them. And so seriously, I just started praying. I said, Lord, please help me. And I was just panicked. And I turned. And would you believe I saw my hotel? I just recognized it just out of the clear blue sky and got back and, was safe and sound. But that was but honestly, the Indian people are the sweetest The women have the most beautiful clothing. I really enjoyed. I know it's not a clean country, but I enjoyed my time there very much.
But you know, that was an answer to prayer right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
You have, because I mean, you could have got lost.
I could have gotten lost. It was very dangerous.
You know, who knows? But
not very smart.
Yeah. Okay. So Fred has a Nancy Pelosi story that he wants to ask you about, Sandy, and get your thoughts on.
I'm going to start a new show, Fun with Nancy.
Fun with Nancy. Okay.
I don't know why I laughed. Yeah. I don't know. Sounds like it's going to be funny.
All right. So Nancy Pelosi, and this is another story we won't deal with right away. She was invited to speak at the Council for Christian Colleges and Universities. This is last week in Washington. Like I say, why would they invite Nancy Pelosi? Anyway, she comes, she's making a speech. She says, and she wants to thank these colleges for helping her in her campaign for refugees and immigrants. And we all know she's talking about illegal immigrants. But anyway, she attempts to quote the Bible in her speech. But there's a problem. She says, I think it's in the Bible, what I'm about to say. So anyway, I'm going to play for you David Brody from Christian Broadcasting.
She said that? She said, I think it's in there?
Yeah, but I'm not sure where.
Okay.
So anyway. And
it may have been Popular Mechanics. I can't remember where I read it. Yeah. Anyway, here it is.
There somewhere. Anyway, David Brody from CBN was asked about this morning on Fox. So you're going to hear Nancy talking and then a little bit of David Brody after that. Cut number two.
And I can't find it in the Bible, but I quote it all the time, and I keep reading and reading the Bible. I know it's there someplace. To minister to the needs of God's creation is an act of worship. To ignore those needs is to dishonor the God who made us.
I just did a quick Bible search. No, it's not there. Look, she's clearly quoting from the paraphrased, I think it's in there, I'm not quite sure version of the Bible that she's dealing with. Look, the sentiment is there, clearly. We're supposed to care for God's creation. There's no doubt about it. But this idea, that the fact that she had to start her line with, I'm not sure it's in the Bible, but I think it's there and I'm still searching, not a good sign. Look, Nancy Pelosi and the morality gig that she's throwing out here about the walls are immoral and all of that, it really is ridiculous when you think about it. Because, look, she thinks a wall is immoral, but doesn't think a baby coming down the birth canal and can be aborted at the last minute isn't immoral, or at least supports that.
All right.
Sandy?
There you have it.
All right.
She's been quoting that since 2002. This wasn't an accident last week.
Right.
Since 2002, she says, I think it's in the Bible. Here's what I'm going to say.
Well, you know, what she's reflecting is the whole justice movement that has really, I'm going to call it, infected the evangelical world as well as the mainline world, in the sense that it is a twisting of God's justice. It is a concentration on the left, the policies of the left, the desires and their number one goals are all couched in the name of justice. While justice, as David was just saying, to unborn babies who are being brutally murdered inside their mothers and now outside their mothers, if the Democrats have their chance, that's not injustice. Injustice is the environment. It's, you know, not addressing climate change. I mean, it's ridiculousness. Justice to the black activist is all about race. You know, God is all about the business of what's right and what's wrong, regardless of color, regardless of age, status of birth. God is about truth. He is about justice, and he's not blinded and limited. I actually saw in a bookstore, I was looking for a Bible just last week. And I saw, I believe it was the NIV Justice Bible. Oh. And I didn't actually get a chance to look at it as closely as I wanted to, but I know it's probably like the other Bibles with a theme where all the verses that seem to hint at their point of view, whatever they're calling justice, maybe I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe the NIV edition, they really were talking about God's justice, but I doubt it because there is such a strong justice movement among evangelicals. It's a real perversion. It's an emphasis on something it's one-sided emphasis of an.
Yeah.
It happens with a lot of different theological disagreements, where like Calvinism, like tongues, where that's all they can talk about, and they see it everywhere. Well, they see justice their view of it everywhere.
Somebody needs to write an injustice Bible just to, you know, just to give some counterbalance to that theology. What do you think, Walker?
Great idea.
Yeah, okay. Ray?
Sandy, we've got the State of the Union coming up tonight, and there's a lot of talk about the wall, which is, that's a great topic and what tone, but I want to touch on, just follow up with what you're talking about. The question of abortion and the statement by the governor of Virginia, which caused such an uproar until this whole yearbook thing blew up and kind of pushed it off to the side. How much, if at all, do you think President Trump is going to say about abortion tonight? Do you think he'll touch it at all?
Well, you know, I haven't, in all of the previews that I've been getting in my inbox about what he might be saying, and I do know some people who are involved closely, I've not seen anything about that. But you know what? I'm going to jump out on a limb here and say, I bet you anything he'll throw something in. I bet he'll say something.
Yes.
Because remember what he said in that debate? And he talked about babies being killed in their mother's wombs. It's not all right with me, he said. It's not all right with me. That's what you support, but it's not okay by me, or something to that effect. It was a powerful statement. So I kind of think he may say something tonight.
Hey,
that's just a prediction.
Sandy, it's Walker here. It's a fact that Congress really isn't doing much. I mean, even under a Republican Congress over the past 2.5 years, not much was done when it comes to a conservative agenda. But give us a few high points, some things that maybe President Trump is doing, whether it be judges, et cetera, that conservatives can be encouraged about.
Well, I mean, you just said the big one right there, Walker, because the appointment of judges will last way past his presidency. It will affect the country for decades to come, especially in the Supreme Court, those lifetime appointments. And then federal judges, their lifetime appointments too, at district court. So he has given us some really fine justices. And as we see in the Supreme Court, I don't think it's constitutional that they have the power that they have. They should be a co-equal branch, but they're not treated like that. Because Congress has abdicated its responsibility over and over and over again, happy to let the courts make the decisions so that they can get reelected in their districts. So the court has taken on more importance. And so the Supreme Court alone, his appointments of Kavanaugh and Gorsuch, and maybe a third one, are going to have implications for decades on the issue of life, on our health insurance, walk it down, everything. So I think that's really the number one. He's also done more to advance the pro-life causes than even President Reagan. He's been more vocal and more adamant and done more things through his various agencies.
In a more hostile environment, too, I might add, for pro-lifers. Hey, before we let you go, Sandy, these guys don't know I'm going to ask them each either. I'm going to write this down. Okay, Sandy, I'm going to ask you first. How many times, and I'm not talking about how many individual claps, but how many times does Nancy Pelosi clap tonight?
I don't think she'll clap at all.
Okay, zero. I'm putting zero down for Sandy. Yeah. Fred?
She'll clap when he's leaving.
Well, there you go. That's good, Fred. That's good.
So should I change your number, Sandy, to once?
Yeah, you can make it change it to
okay,
one.
Okay, I'm going to change your number to once. Fred, you're saying once? Okay, Ray, what about
Give me two when he comes in and when he leaves.
So so she will have the decency to at least applaud when the President of the United States enters the... Okay, I get it. Walker?
I think five.
Five?
Ooh. I'm being generous.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. Five times?
If he talks about, like giving DACA kids the opportunity or stuff like that, she's going to clap.
Okay.
Our health care.
Prescription drugs.
Yeah, our infrastructure.
Mm. Yeah, the prescription drugs. Is he into that? Is he going to mention
that? Oh, yeah, he's big in that.
Okay.
I want to know how many times we think that she's going to do that thing with her mouth. She's like chewing her lips.
I'm glad that came from Sandy. You get a pass.
Right. We can't even say that.
Well, we're going to watch that tonight. Okay,
I'm full responsibility.
I'm not taking a score on that one. Okay, I'm going to go four. I'm going to go four. I think coming in and leaving. Leaving, she's probably going to do a little dance.
That's right.
Or some kind. But anyway, all right, we'll see what happens there. So thank you, Sandy. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Talk to you guys soon.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. We're talking about the State of the Union speech tonight, which will be at 8 o'clock Central Time. The President of the United States will address the country and obviously the members of Congress who will, and the Supreme Court. Well, now, Fred, will Ruth Bader Ginsburg be in attendance?
Apparently she was seen outside her house yesterday. So,
like walking around?
She's moving.
Okay, she's been sick with cancer and other things.
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm not sure whether she'll be there tonight. Sometime, what was the last year, the State of the Union address, there were a couple of the Supreme Court justices weren't there with conflict of schedules or something. So they don't always attend.
Yeah. We'll see who all is there tonight, especially people will be seeing if she is there, the Supreme Court Justice. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. By the way, we're live video streaming this show at Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues for Facebook and YouTube, and we're live video streaming our show there. Go ahead, Fred. Next story.
Well, I've got two or three stories I'd like to do, and we're running out of time, but something you should know. Remember the big news back just a few weeks ago during the March for Life in Washington, D.C.? The big story became this encounter involving these kids from Covington High School, Catholic school in Kentucky. And we know what happened. One of the young men, they were all out waiting for the bus, these kids who had taken part of the march. And then you have this encounter with this Native Indian leader and another group across the street. The initial reports made this young man from Covington High, his name is Nick Sandman, made him look like, well, some preachers were calling him a punk. They were blaming him for a ruckus.
Well, they said the story was that these white Catholic kids from Covington, Kentucky, had surrounded this Native American who was just trying to celebrate in, whatever holiday he was, or whatever recognition he was. It's something to do with his heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And so these kids are surrounding him and were harassing him.
Yeah. That was the initial story.
Yeah. Well, that's
And among those who bought it were his own diocese, back Catholic diocese. Based on a picture. Based on a picture.
Right.
And then Hollywood went ballistic against him.
All left-wing media.
All of that.
Even some conservative media jumped on him.
Exactly. Yes. So the news today is that young Sandman has hired a lawyer, and the lawyer has started and issued letters to more than 50 media organizations, celebrities and politicians, and against the diocese.
His own diocese?
His own diocese.
Because they slandered the kid.
They slandered him.
And you're talking about a minor, too.
Yes. So what has happened is the lawyer now has sent out a initial letter ordering these 50 people, and we're talking Hollywood celebrities like Jim Carrey and others, NPR, I think CNN, all of these, that they are forbidden to destroy any of the reports like the media gave that day, et cetera, et cetera. They are planning a lawsuit because this young man's reputation has been spoiled by these reports. Now, how far this is going to go, because there's going to be arguments of free speech and all of this sort of thing. But I find it fascinating that Nick Sandman is, and his family are fighting back against this. Now, you know, we know I when the truth came out, Nick Sandman did nothing wrong.
No, I watched, Ray, like you get comment on this, I watched this video again, some of the video again. And what happened to those young boys from Covington Catholic School is just appalling.
Right.
This Native American man is 64 years old. He walks into the crowd of boys, of teenage boys waiting on their bus. And he walks up to them, and he's right in front of this, is it Nick?
Nick Sandman.
This young man who got all the scorn for having a, quote, smirk on his face. And this Indian man is banging his drum. He's old enough to be his granddad.
Yeah.
And he says, I'm going to go over here and provoke these boys. Watch this. I hope these white boys hit me. I'll be famous forever. And he gets his drum, and he gets within about a foot of the face of Nick Sandman and just bangs his drum. Now, my wife said, I'm glad you didn't do that to me. You'd be all over the news. And I would too. Because most people would say, get out of my face.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's the normal reaction. But instead, this 17-year-old boy had composure. Mm-hmm. And all he did was smile. That smile was taking a photograph as a smirk. And I'm superior than you, Indian man. Mm-hmm. That's the narrative that went out across the country based on a picture. And a lot of even conservatives bought it. I'm glad they're suing. Here, is it a lawsuit, or are they trying to get a retraction and a...
Well, it'll be a lawsuit for libel. That's what's going on. A libel and defamation lawsuit.
Yes, right. And the media companies will probably be given a time frame, a window to recant and issue an apology. And if they don't, then the lawsuit will continue.
Yeah. Right. You know why they went after... This is my speculation. The reason they went after Nick Salmon... And these other kids, Nick Salmon, if you look at the picture, had a Make America Great cap.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
I mean, that's if that hat had not been worn, the media might have given it some attention. But because he had that hat on, immediately.
Yeah, and the left over the past year has shown that they have a low tolerance level for Catholics. Mm. Because remember Bernie Sanders and others in the Senate when interviewing interviewing judicial branch nominees, they continually talked about, you know, Dianne Feinstein said the dogma lives loudly inside of you, talking about a court seat.
A
federal judge. So, and then they go after the judge for the Sixth Circuit a couple weeks ago for being in
about the Democrats
Catholic
too?
Fraternity. Mm-hmm. What was the name of the Catholic fraternity that the judge was in?
Yeah. And there was also the young man from Wheaton who was being interviewed for a Trump administration job. And Bernie Sanders said, well, because your college speaks out against homosexuality, you are not qualified for a government job.
Right.
Right.
Well, the whole thing just stinks to high heaven. If you go back and look at that video, I submit to any fair-minded person, the provocateur in that case was Mr. Phillips, who had no business interrupting anything. He comes up, he beats the drum, right? He gets right in that kid's face. And you know, what they're calling a smirk, what do they expect that young man to do? He didn't say any swear words, he didn't say any racial epithets.
No.
He just stood his ground.
Right.
What else was he supposed to do?
And he said, I was praying that nothing would happen.
Right.
So I didn't know what to do. It's an awkward moment. The guy gets in my face with a drum. I didn't know what to do, so I smiled. Mm-hmm. And then his smile was characterized as a smirk, and all the people went after him. It just so perfectly fit their narrative, you know, of these superior white Catholic boys from a private school looking down on the Native American elderly man. And they surrounded him and harassed him when, in fact, it was the 64-year-old who went up, as Ray just said, and provoked the whole situation. And, you know, this was on the heels of, it's just the media, many in the media, they don't even have filters anymore. They don't even do fact checks anymore. They don't even verify things anymore.
Right.
It's just we live in an age of instant you know, reporting, and social media takes off, mm-hmm. and
it leads to more errors.
It leads to more errors, and people are hurt. And in this case, it was some young men who were teenage boys from this school who were slandered, and mischaracterized. And I'm glad that they have hired an attorney to make their case. Okay, thank you, Fred.
You're welcome.
Contributions to the hour. Walker and Ray, and I will be back in a few minutes with Steve Jordahl. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.